Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Well, we've got a doubleheader for you here today. First part is going to be our final political profile of the primary season. Tom Audette, who is one of the Republican candidates seeking your support on next Tuesday for county council seat number one. Then in the second half of the program, Sandra Evans from Manor House is going to be joining us here on our broadcast. So, Tom, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Manning. How are you doing today?
Wonderful to have you here. Tell everybody a little bit about the infamous Tom Audette.
Oh, thank you very much, Manning. I'm Tom Audette, Republican candidate for York County Council District 1 seat. I'm married to my wife, Diane. I've got five beautiful daughters. I've got a master's degree from Columbia Southern University with a Bachelor of Science degree and then multiple certifications in finance and policy. I have been very involved in the Republican Party for years and have supported candidates such as Ralph Norman, Mick Mulvaney. I work for Bell South / AT&T for the last 20 years, and I work with corporations and large business across the Southeast. I've been a school board member, and I've taken this knowledge and information and got elected in 2012 to the Fort Mill School Board, and I've been on the school board for the last 8 years. We've been addressing issues such as rapid growth, 1,000 new students a year, building new schools, expanding district offices, budget, policy oversight and approval, hiring, land purchasing, safety reviews, working with the legislature, and much, much more. I've been honored to be endorsed by several local great elected officials in this area, such as Ralph Norman, Wes Clymer, Chris Moody, members of Fort Mill School Board, many, many others, including endorsements from the Midland Caucus Republican Group and the Reaganites Group. I'm going to take all this knowledge, this background, I'm going to bring it to, they give this opportunity to take this knowledge to the county council to be able to approach and work on economic growth, lowering taxes, support the law enforcement, the roads, create opportunity zones for our businesses in the area. So thank you, Manny, for that.
I was wondering whether you were going to finish.
There you go.
So you're currently, you work for AT&T, is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, Bell South. Yep.
Same thing.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
That's an amazing story right there, how they split up AT&T into the Baby Bells, and then the Baby Bells all became AT&T again.
Absolutely.
Don't you love it?
Absolutely.
Right. So, why? I mean, I understand you've had 8 years on the school board, and that's enough, I guess. Mm-hmm. So you want to do the county council thing? Why?
Well, I enjoy serving the community. After 8 years of serving the community on the Fort Mill board, I want to take that knowledge, what I've learned, and in the experience, and bring it to the county. We've got a lot of opportunity from within our county. For example, economic growth. Looking at creating workforce readiness programs, opportunity zones, working private-public opportunities, you know, promote our right-to-work state, all right? Work on roads, work with the South Carolina DOT, you know, work on C funds. Of course, we are a donor community, so we've got to, you know, push to get every C fund we can. And work, you know, all the way down to, you know, programs such as the Transportation Alternative Program, which is really affected immensely by the census. And the same with the Rural Intersection Program. If the census goes up in this area, we get additional funding for roads and also bike paths, okay, and walking paths and sidewalks to make sure our public is kept safe and they can go out and enjoy the area.
What do you see as the biggest issue that faces your county?
I think some of the biggest issues we have is again, the challenge of our infrastructure. I think the challenge of our economic development. Act 388 has been a real detriment to businesses and residents in this area. I mean, and so we need to look at creative ways on how we can lower regulations and taxes on businesses. One of the ways that we did that through the Fort Mill School District is we created a growth, pay through growth impact fee. That has allowed us to give tax breaks to businesses and residents in this area. We have to be very creative how we do this moving forward, but we need to, again, move forward. And we also need, again, we need to support our law enforcement. We need to get the tools that they need. And we also need to make sure we're supporting the school district.
So right now, just a sidebar, I think the school district is sitting on in excess of $20 million mm-hmm. sitting in account.
Correct.
That they would apply to new school construction, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't been able to tap into it yet because this thing's still going through. Even though you've won, mm-hmm. litigation is being
correct.
Appealed. So
that is correct. Right. Yeah, and we've been able to give some funds last year, which we've lowered some taxes on debt services.
Right.
This year, again, we're going to lower debt services taxes. Again, once the litigation and the rest of that ends, then that will open up the rest of the money. Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that the county has been on a path to accomplish is to eliminate the county's entire bonded indebtedness mm-hmm. over the next, what is it, 3 or 4, 5 yes. years, something like that.
Yeah.
And they raised the millage slightly to mm-hmm. accomplish that,
mm-hmm.
but showed how much the millage would drop as a result of accomplishing that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an approach that you would support?
Well, I support paying down the bond. Okay, that you know, debt millage, you look at, for example, the challenges of growth, and what happens is that capital expenditures end up having to be funded through bond initiatives. When you have an area that is growing so rapidly, you accumulate these bonds, so you have to be creative in your design. And that is why the Fort Mill School District did the growth, pace for growth impact fee, which, again, gives tax breaks to local businesses and residents.
Yeah. Would you agree or disagree with something has been churning in my head here for a while, that your county has gotten so big that we, after the 2020 census, ought to seriously consider having an at-large representative for the county
mm-hmm.
rather than have these seven little fiefdoms that we have?
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I think that there's room for discussion on that. You know, it would be something that I would have to think about. I think that we are growing so fast that we have to be creative in our thoughts.
Now, let me ask you another question, and this has been an issue before the county council for a long time and really hasn't gotten to where it needs to get as far as some mm-hmm. components of the community think, and that is this whole issue of agritourism. Do you think that the county should be solidly behind an agritourism effort to represent the other parts of the county that are not in the urbanized areas like we are here in Fort Mill mm-hmm. and in Rock Hill?
Yeah, I absolutely do, because that, you know, we've got to look each part of the county. There's certain things that are going to work for each part of the county. We've got more rural county that has a lot of opportunity, as what you just mentioned. We've got to look at opportunities such as we've done the county has done with the Wood River Bend and utilizing the H tax. It's important to create destinations from within your area to bring people in. So you've got to be creative. And in regards to that, each area has its own needs, and we have to look at that individually and making sure that everybody's being taken care of.
All right. I told you before the show that I wanted to ask you about this question, so mm-hmm. there's no surprise.
Mm-hmm.
The slot that's being vacated on Council District Number 1 mm-hmm. has been held by Michael Johnson, who's
sure.
been on council for a while and mm-hmm. Still is the council chairman. After Lord knows how much debate over a year, mm-hmm. The vote came for the Carolina Panthers, whether
sure.
we should give them the special tax consideration because of the size of the deal that they're bringing
mm-hmm.
to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Johnson voted against that.
Mm-hmm.
Had you been sitting on the York County Council
mm-hmm.
as a representative from District Number 1, would you have voted for or against the Carolina Panther deal?
Sure. So as you look at the deal itself, and again, as a person that gets information, not being on the council, but the information that I've gotten, there's certain questions you got to ask. What is the cost benefit across the board for the Panther project? Okay, What is, how are we going to look at it? Because we have models such as Knight Stadium that was built and now it's been torn down. So you always got to look at future cost benefit and how we're going to be able to build in those businesses that are going to be around that. The second thing is, as you look at this thing holistically, I think that there has been, from a high level, I think from a negotiation, I think the district did a great job in negotiating. I think overall, though, I think there was probably a little bit of a challenge up front when it comes to negotiation, and especially when it comes to the taxation negotiation. When there was 100% negotiation given, or tax credit given up front, it's hard to negotiate from a county perspective. Again, there's reasons behind they did it, but I'm only looking from a high level. The other concern is the 800 acres, okay? I think from hindsight, there were reasons why I'm sure that they had to be put out as it did for a vote, because the information, I would have liked the scene that 800 acres talked about more to the landowners in the area so they could fully understand how that was going to work. I thought that was a little bit challenging at the end to try to explain that to those people that were affected by it.
But we all know that 800 acres would never... First of all, you have to have a willing buyer, and you have to have a willing seller.
Right.
Right. There's no eminent domain in this.
Absolutely. Okay. No, understood. But I'm looking from a high level to make sure that people understand. So to answer your question overall, I would have voted yes for it, and I am in support of it. I'm just giving some observations of what I saw through the process.
I got you. Nobody would argue there was a very, very complex deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, hugely complex. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's moving forward. It did pass, and... Mm-hmm. Everybody's got their fingers crossed it's going to turn out the way, because if it does, look out, we're going to be something.
Absolutely.
All right, before you know, we're going to run out of time.
Yeah.
Is there any one particular thing that you want to zero in on if you are successful in this election?
Sure. Well, I mean,
you're given a whole list of stuff.
But yeah. I think overall, I want to... Again, there's a lot of things to focus in on, but I think economic development is a huge one.
Okay.
I want to get job opportunities. Again, open the door for businesses to come in to create job opportunities for the people of this county. That is very, very important.
And, of course, we had some very encouraging news on the job front here just, a short while ago.
Sure.
When everybody was expecting another dismal report.
Yeah.
And 2.5 million jobs were added.
Absolutely.
And the unemployment rate that they expected to be around 20% because of the pandemic is actually around 13%. So that's good.
Exactly. And the effects of the pandemic have been such a challenge across the board on these businesses.
Everybody.
Yeah, and everybody. So absolutely.
So how would you overall rate the job performance of the York County Council over the last 5 years?
Yeah. I thought they've done a good job. I'm looking forward to being part of the team. I'm there. I think that we can do some great things together on the council. And again, very excited to be part of it.
And do you think that the council as a whole, since it's so broad and represents everything in York County, should do more to, reconcile, I don't want to say differences, but misunderstandings, whatever, between the municipalities and the county?
Well, I can't speak for them and what they're doing. All I can say is that it's collaboration and conversation and communication is key in that environment. So, and that's what I will bring that to the county and along with the rest of the team to collaborate with them.
You got 30 seconds to wrap it up. Why should anybody vote for you?
Well, in the last 8 years, I've served faithfully to the people in TUK and Fort Mill and the Fort Mill School Board. In the 2 years, I've elected the two terms I've been elected to, I've gained experience and knowledge that's very important to the county council. Along with all my other experience, I want to bring this to the county council, represent the people in my district. I'm very excited and be honored to have your vote, Tom Audette. And my website is www.tomaudette.com/countycouncil.com. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for being willing to throw your hat in a race and see what happens. He's one of the Republican candidates on the ballot Tuesday in the election that I hope everybody is waking up to realize is actually there. We've been so preoccupied with the virus and all the problems with the horrible George Floyd killing that we've just lost track of what's happening here locally. So that's going to wrap up the first part of our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, we hang out here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The magical way we do it is in those white letters on that T-shirt. And we're all going to bellow it out together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice, slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we are here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, and we're very pleased to have with us on this half of the show a lady by the name of Sandra Evans, who is one of the creators, whatever you want to call it, of a wonderful ministry here in Rock Hill called Manor House that I knew absolutely nothing about until probably about a year ago. And keep in mind now, I go up and down Finley Road at least twice every day, and even on weekends. And on the weekends, I would see these tents right by Mount Prospect Baptist Church there. I said, what are they doing here? Cars all up and down the street. And like a lughead, I never stopped to find out until a guy by the name of Wayne Wingett said, you need to come over here and see this. And I was just dumbfounded by what your church has been doing with what I call a grocery ministry for those who are in need here in our community. And you've done it all through your church. I don't know how you orchestrated all that, but it was absolutely controlled chaos when I was there. Very well done. How are you, Sandra?
I'm fine. And it is controlled chaos. And I, as much as I'd like to take credit for it, I'm not the creator. I'm just the person that God sent 5 years in who decided, wait a minute, maybe we can do this and maybe we can do that. And they were doing good work. You know, it started out as a clothing ministry and it went from there to just giving out food. And once, you know, I started volunteering, I saw a need, and decided, okay, well, we need to have other partnerships. And, you know, how do we go about doing this? So once we got started and start figuring out, well, how do we do this and how do we do that, and watching other models of food pantries, and then forming a relationship with Second Harvest, Second Harvest Food Bank in Charlotte, that was a game changer. Because what it did was it allowed us to get food at pennies on a dollar.
Yeah.
and being able to serve more people. But honestly, we could not do this without our volunteers. The volunteers are what keeps it together.
And you talk about a church that's got it, who understands it. You all have got it.
Yeah.
Because you're out there, what do they say? You're not only talking the talk, you're walking the walk.
Yeah.
And you have to understand, I mean, they've got Second Harvest brings these trucks and drops stuff off. You're getting food from other places, grocery stores
right.
and restaurants and what have you. And they took the church grounds and segregated rooms where they'd have one room for frozen stuff, one room for fresh stuff, one room for baked goods, one room for who knows what.
Organized chaos.
It was. I was just.
But we did it.
Freezers everywhere.
Freezers everywhere. Everywhere.
Oh my goodness! And when you talk about volunteers,
yeah.
I don't know how big your church is, but you had a small army there. The Saturday I was
and
at 25 or 30 or something like that.
The volunteers, they start on Monday picking up food. We are there 6 days a week. Every day of the week we pick up food and bring it in, sort it out, refrigerate it, freeze it. Every day of the week. And then Fridays we get this big truck from Second Harvest. And that's real organized chaos on Fridays. And then Saturday mornings it goes out, and we used to have to move things from one building to the other, one refrigerator to the other. And
well, we'll talk about the move here in just a second. What else was I going to mention about this? So when people come to pick up their groceries, as I mm-hmm. call it, when I saw over at Mount Prospect, is they would come into a room, and you had a great big three-ring binder there, and you would check people in and check them out. You actually did a marvelous thing like checking an ID. Wow, what a novel idea.
Yes.
Can't do that at the polls. No, I'm just kidding. Don't get me started. And so it was very organized. And then they would, when they did their shopping, they would take their box of goodies out there, and the car would drive up, and you'd put it in the car, and off they go.
Yes.
And you were serving, I think, when I saw it, well over 100 families a week.
Yeah, it averaged 100 to 110 families every
week. All right, so we get this call from Wayne Winkett, and he says, because I've been involved with Pathways, is there something we could work out? I'm going to make a very long story short
mm-hmm.
and say, yeah, it worked out. And you came over and took a block of space. You renovated the space. I mean, you all raised the money to renovate the space and do what you wanted. Brought over all those freezers and refrigerators. And I drove by Pathways, I don't know, a week or two ago. And I'm saying, oh, my God, look how this thing has grown.
It has.
Water
it
seeks its own level. And
it does. I tell you, Pathways was probably one of the best things that could have happened to the ministry, in the sense that, first of all, we have space to really spread out. And making it a little easier on our, not a little easier, a lot easier on our volunteers, because now, instead of them going from room to room, everything is basically self-contained in two rooms now. All of our non-perishables are in one area, and our perishables are in another area. And, you know, we've been blessed with grants, you know, Food Lion. We were able to get equipment. I mean, we got shopping carts and refrigerators and all kinds of equipment from Food Lion, because they have this program called Food Lion Feeds. So we were able to get some of the equipment. We did have to buy some new things, but fundraising, and Wayne is our fundraising guru. And it's been awesome. It really has. And to renovate the building, and, you know, one of our board members is an engineer, so he just took on that project. And everybody just did what they needed to do. And it's worked out, and it's a win-win. And Pathways has really helped this ministry grow beyond where we were. We thought we were big, but it's just growing. It really
All right,
is.
Well, let's talk some numbers, because you were averaging over at Mount Prospect roughly, what, 100 to 100?
100 to 110. And some weeks it was 125. But, you know, near the end of the month, when people's food stamps run out, then right. it usually went up to the 125.
Okay. So since you've been at Pathways, which has been, I don't know, 6 weeks or so?
Yeah. Since we've been at Pathways, the average week is about 150 to 160. And I don't want to have to tell you, Memorial Day weekend, it was 208 families.
208 families for Memorial Day? Have you ever, that means you run out of food?
We never run out. That's why it's called the Manor House.
That's exactly right. That's
food
amazing.
From heaven. We never run out. I mean, now that's not to say that people who show up at 12 o'clock or at 11:55 get as much as the ones at the front of the line, but nobody leaves there without food.
Do you limit how much people can get from any particular area just so you can spread it out to everybody?
We try to. We do. Because yeah. We know what we have. Like now where we're chief at, we get prepared boxes, so we get anywhere from 100 to 150 of those, or we make up bags. So we make up at least 150 carts. So we know. And if we have oranges, depending upon how many we have, how much fruit we have, we kind of can eyeball it to see, okay, how many... Can we put a bag of oranges, or we do it two bags of oranges? Or we get a lot of bread, we got a lot of baked goods. Depending upon how much of our space it fills up, we pretty much can figure it out. And as we get towards the end, we start checking the numbers, we start checking the clock. And if it's starting to get a little late and we got a little extra, then we just put a little extra in the carts. That's how it works. Supply and demand.
The idea is to clean it out by the end of the day.
Because then comes Sunday, and
here we come.
We churching on Sunday.
So... The families that come in to take advantage to get this necessary food, they're not paying anything for this food?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing but a smile.
But you are verifying that they are, you don't want people in there that can go out and buy their own groceries. You're verifying that.
We do, but we don't verify salaries. I shouldn't say that, but. They have to fill out an application, and they have to meet income guidelines based on the federal government's guidelines for how many per family and what the income level should be. And that's the only thing you can do.
Right.
And, sometimes people may not qualify, but if 95% of the people do and only 5 don't, then we've done what we're supposed to do.
I'll bet you we could spend a half an hour here with you just telling me stories about...
I could write a book.
You could write a book.
I can write a book.
Matter of fact, you ought to write a book called Manor House, right?
Yeah.
But the stories of that must come through there every week must be remarkable.
Well, unfortunately, they are. They used to be. But since COVID-19, that flipped the script for us completely because people don't come into the building because of the social distancing. So we haven't been able to let people come into the building.
Okay.
So we don't have that personal contact that we used to have. Will we get back to it? I'm hoping and praying that we do because it's a missing element. But all we can do is all we can do right now.
So you prepare boxes in advance and just put them in cars?
We prep bags and we put the things in the cart.
Yeah.
And then we have everything set up in the refrigerated room where everything is lined up and our volunteers walk in with a cart, they put a box in, and then they just go down the line and they just take something from every section, put in the cart, carts go out. When the carts come back in, they get wiped down and it just goes. And we do that anywhere from 150 to 200 times on a Saturday morning.
You all must be exhausted by the end.
We are. We are. We're usually exhausted from Friday.
Do you fall asleep at church on Sunday?
Well, now we're doing church online.
Oh, that's right. We're all doing
that.
We're
church online right now.
I'm getting tired of that, I can tell you.
I think we all are. We're ready to do some praise and worship.
All right. Well, Sandra, thank you for everything. And if you want to help out Manor House, do you have a website where they can go to make a donation very quickly?
Info@ManorHousePantry.org. And can I just say one more thing? Very quickly. We got a load of milk today off the truck. It was got milk. Come on over, 546 South Cherry, Kemp Pathways.
If you need milk, get down there right now because we got a huge supply and we got to get rid of it because we don't have enough refrigerators.
Right.
Get down to Pathways right now if you need milk. That'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented, of course, by Founders Federal Credit Union and Anderson Griggs Investments. We do it live here from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. How do we do it, gang? 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Guard, guard, guard. Not bad. Have a wonderful weekend. See you on the radio Monday. Bye.